You're going to hear a story today that will bless you, challenge you, and maybe rock your world.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here, right now in Catania, Italy, and then on my way flying into Stuttgart, Germany for two meetings in Tübingen, and then God willing, home on Tuesday. We had a great weekend of meetings that got in early Friday afternoon, then we had meetings Friday night, and three on Saturday, and two on Sunday with lots of meetings. In the midst of the meetings, God moving, things exciting, we're launching Fire School of Ministry in Sicily, God willing, in September. And I'm sitting here in Catania with a dear friend we met 30 years ago, the first trip I took to Italy, first of 25. Nancy was with me on that one. And we met up with a ministry in Italy called Christ is the Answer. It's an amazing story. And I'm sitting here with my friend Paul Schaefer. And all the years we've known each other, this may be the first interview we've done.
Yeah, Mike, and it's great to be here with you and greet everybody that's listening.
All right. So, Paul, you are from Canada originally, French-Canadian background. So how did you come to faith in the first place? To share your story.
So, yeah, I'm born in Saskatchewan in Canada. My mother was French-Canadian. My father was German-Canadian. Of course, we were speaking English in that province. And raised in a very Catholic family, very devout Catholic family. I went to a Catholic school for the first 7 years and went on to high school, many activities with youth and everything. Finished high school and left for a trip that a politician gave me to England, and came back and began to work. And all that I had so far with my Catholic practice and the going to church, it all just disappeared. And I just started working and began to look for what was my life all about. At a certain point, I heard about an international exchange program that Canada was developing with five different nations called Canada World Youth. And I applied for it and they accepted me. And that took me to preparation down in French Canada, and then we went to Tunisia. While I was in Tunisia there living in Arab families and doing all kinds of activities with them, we got a letter. A girl in the team I was with from French Canada got a letter from her brother, had gone down to the States and met a team called Christ is the Answer, and had a life-changing experience by the power of the gospel. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wrote us his testimony. And so we were there in Tunisia in this Arab family reading this letter about how he got to know Jesus. We didn't know what to make of it. But we got back to Canada. We met him. He challenged us to read the Bible, to seek the Lord. And we left Eastern Canada with backpacks and hitchhiking. We went 7 weeks all across Canada working. And eventually, I started doing transcendental meditation, and then I was working towards becoming a teacher of transcendental meditation, working in a health food restaurant. And at a certain point, the girl I was living with, the French-Canadian girl, she went back to visit her family, and at that time, she really surrendered to the Lord. 3 months later, I went down to Montreal, or to Quebec City, and I took a course to become a teacher of transcendental meditation. Came out of that course and she met me and she said, you know, my life has really changed. I want to follow Jesus. I don't want to mess around anymore. You're going to have to decide what you want to do. And that evening, I kind of felt my back up against the wall. And I prayed, you know, for the first time. And I felt the Lord showed me two things. One, that I was a sinner without any hope. And my religion didn't save me. And then I had an understanding that Jesus had died for me. And I gave him my life. And then the next months, we sold everything we had, left everything there in Canada, came to Italy to meet her brothers who were here with the mission group called Christ is the Answer. And we joined up 2.5 years later, we got married, had 3 children, and here we are 41 years later, still serving the Lord.
So in other words, you've been here on the mission field in Italy for basically 41 years. How old are you now, Paul?
I'm 63 years old.
All right, so just a little bit older than me, but friends, I don't think you have any idea when he says that they've been here in Italy, the team 42 years, Paul with them 41 years. What you're about to hear is an amazing story.
fire we want, for fire we please. And
it's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, Michael Brown here in Catania, Italy, in Sicily, and ready to go on to Germany for a couple of meetings later in the afternoon and then home again on Tuesday. So thank you for praying for this trip. Sitting with my friend Paul Schaefer, we first met 30 years ago under a tent called Christ is the Answer in Italy. I'm going to tell you about that team in a moment, but Paul, when you got saved, you were caught up in the whole hippie movement at that time. So just paint a picture. You were long-haired. What kind of literature were you into? What kind of practices?
Well, I was reading anything we could get, the Bhagavad Gita and then the Tibetan Book of the Dead and the Egyptian Book of the Dead and anything else. Really, we were seeking. I was seeking. Many others were seeking yoga, meditation. We were vegetarians. We were doing absolutely anything. But we were also, at the same time, real rebels. We were against the establishment. We were against the war in Vietnam. We were against the American domination of world politics and world economics and everything. We were really confused people. And in the midst of all this, the Lord brought us in contact with the gospel. And I began to read the Bible. I read the Bible for myself before I ever really believed, and I read the entire Bible, seeking, you know. And I realized now that some of the things I saw in the Bible at that time, I didn't understand them. It was totally foreign to me. But the Lord did speak to me out of one verse in John, the Gospel of John 14:6. I'm the way, the truth, and the life, said Jesus. No one comes to the Father by me. And I thought, wait a minute. There are many ways to know God. If there is a God, there are many ways. There's yoga, transcendental meditation, other religions, philosophies. And I couldn't come to grips with this unique claim of Jesus until, of course, I came to know him. Then I realized he really is the only way.
All right, so you get wonderfully born again, and you're married now to Julianne, and now you're going, you sell everything, and you go to Italy to join up with a family member there, part of this Christ is the Answer missions team. So what was the team like, and how did they get to Italy?
Well, the team was born out of the Jesus People movement of the late 60s and 70s. A man by the name of Bill Lowry had a burden to bring the gospel to the young people in America, and then he had the same burden to come to Europe. So he was using a big tent, like a circus tent, and they came over in 74, first to Sweden and Finland, and then started moving down into Europe. And October of 74, they set up for the first time in Rome. And the thing was, we were convinced Jesus was coming back very, very soon. And the only thing that mattered was to get the gospel out, get people to know him as their Savior and Lord, and just keep on going. And so we went throughout the nation. In 1976, when we came, we did 11 cities in 1 year. And the next year, we did 10 cities, moving this tent from city to city, preaching the gospel every day on the streets, day, afternoon, and evening. Just reaching out to the people and bringing them through to realize that, you know, of course, Jesus is not just religion. Jesus is a real living Savior that we can know and have an experience and live with. And so we kept that pace going for about 20 years, thinking that at any moment now, Jesus is going to be back and this is going to be all over.
So the way you were living, you never made long-term plans. So if you're living like in a little tent or a little van or something and just sleeping in there, and you weren't thinking about kids because you weren't going to have kids, and then if you had kids, well, they wouldn't be old enough to go to school. So this is, again, friends, over 40 years ago. So paint a picture of how you live. You're on the street all day, all night. You're preaching on the street, bringing people into the tent for meetings at night, having meetings 7 nights a week, and then just going, preaching. How did you live? What was lifestyle like, and where did the money come from?
Well, we lived sharing everything as a Christian commune. It was kind of a unique, radical type of situation. But we did that all by faith, and the money came in from the offerings. We just believed that the Lord would provide, and he did. He kept us going. We never lacked anything essential on all of these years. We did get married. We did have children. Our children actually did Christian homeschooling eventually, and they excelled at it. So some of our children were actually able to go on and get university degrees, which of course we didn't even contemplate at that time. And we moved from small tents to old real campers, and from campers we moved to containers, and we just kept moving around Italy, up and down the boot, all going to every city, town, and village that we could. We were challenged after the earthquake of 1980. We were challenged by the director of Every Home Crusade. He said, in Every Home Crusade, we try to get a gospel tract into every family, every home address. But why don't you guys try to get to every single person? Because the gospel is for every single creature, every single person. So we did that. We tried to reach out, map out cities, towns, provinces, and regions, and look at every city, town, and village, and actually intentionally go and evangelize every one of them. And in some parts of the nation, that had never been done since the last time an OM team came in 1972. So some places we came along, it was tens of years had passed by, and there was a whole new generation of people that needed to hear.
And as you described just rapidly the way you live, when Nancy and I came over in 87, and we were given a tent to stay in, and then, you know, the big meetings, we did morning, afternoon teaching for the team, and then big preaching meetings at night. But we stayed in this little tent, and of course, you had these little, be like porta potties, and these little shacks you use for the toilet. And then if you're going to take a shower, then you had a truck with a shower in it. So here's when the men could use it, here's when the women could use it. It could be freezing cold, it could be raining, it could be hot. It's a very challenging way to live. So we thought that you were like kind of a short-term youth with a missions team, and you came over for a few months, and then you went back home because nobody could live like this. And when we found out that you folks had been living like this for over a decade, we were stunned, because there were families that just lived in a little tent, or families, they had the little van, and they took over the van. That's where the whole family lived. But now it's been over 40 years living like this. You've sacrificed a lot. Your family sacrificed a lot. You don't have a retirement account. You don't have a house to go to. Do you have any regrets about the way you've lived?
No, I have no regrets whatsoever. We're happy that that the Lord gave us the grace to do it. We're committed to keep on doing it. We know that our families living in that way did pay a price, and we've made some mistakes, and so some of those mistakes bear consequences over the years. We understand that also, but at the same time, we regret nothing. We don't have a pension plan, but the Lord has taken care of us for 41 years. He'll take care of us all the way through to the end. And of course, we never know. He's still coming back.
All right. Now, Italy, though, is a really unique country. And I didn't know it, that it was known as a graveyard for missionaries. And on the one hand, you have a very strong Catholicism, which is very different than Catholicism most folks know in America or in the West. And then you also have, it's the worldly, it's the fashion capital of the world. It has these different elements, the old tradition and the modern worldliness. You've been here all these years. What are some of the unique challenges in Italy? And to your knowledge, what would be a realistic idea of what percentage of the population is born again?
The percentage of the population right now, approximately 500,000 Italians are born again. And at the same time, there are now about 700,000 immigrants from other nations of the world that are here that are born again believers. So now we've gone beyond 1 million, 1,200,000 on a population of just over 60 million people. Mm. There's the challenge is to penetrate the actual Italian-European culture of secular humanism. That's the biggest challenge. More than Catholicism or more than anything else, that's the challenge. The mindset is very anti-faith, anti-holy living, anti-God, all of that we consider is the core of the gospel testimony. At the same time, in this last period of time, we have seen the Spirit of God is moving. Things are happening, new things are happening, and we really have faith that we can still go. One of the goals right now is to be able to plant a good gospel testimony in every city, town, and village. There are about 6,800 that still are without a gospel witness, people that really believe and live the gospel there present. So we're working with the churches and different church planting organizations to arrive at, try to cover all of these places.
So you're saying 6,800 cities or villages in Italy without a real, clear, viable gospel witness. And what's amazing, friends, is that you can go all over Italy and you'll meet pastors some of significant churches, and they got saved under the Christ is the Answer tent. They were drug addicts. They were lost. They were just sinners in the world, and they got saved, and they become some of the pastors, some of the leaders. And wherever the team goes in Italy, people have known them for years and years and years. And friends, when you look at the way they've lived, it makes sense in the light of eternity. The way a lot of us live, and being so caught up with the things of this world, and putting so much of our effort into just satisfying the needs of this world, it makes very little sense in light of eternity. God is moving in Europe in the midst of the darkness, and God is moving mightily in the Muslim world. When we come back, I want to talk with Paul Schaefer of Christ is the Answer and let you know some of the things that God's doing in Europe, some of the real needs, some of the real challenges, but some of the things that God is doing in Europe and also what God is doing in the Muslim world. We will be right back from Catania here in Sicily, Italy. God of light,
hear our cry. Send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, coming your way from Sicily, but about to be en route to Germany for just a couple of meetings in Germany before heading home. And if you didn't get my email this morning, I just want to let you know about something. There's a tremendous new book. We're going to be focusing on it on Wednesday by Dr. Mark Stengler and his son, Mark Stengler Jr. It's Cult Shock. It is a tremendous book for winning Jehovah's Witnesses, winning Mormons, winning cult members. It's over 250 pages. Josh McDowell really gives it a rave review. It's a $17 book, but we're sending it as our thank you gift to you for your one-time gift to our ministry of any size. Be as generous as you can, but this is our way of saying thank you and equipping you, putting something in your hands that can really inform you, open your eyes, and enable you to be an effective witness. So we want to send you the book as our appreciation for your gift of any size. And your gift is especially going to help me in these coming weeks as we are devoting time and effort and energy to producing outreach shows to air all over Israel, the most unique outreach we've ever been part of. You can share with us. So go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You'll see right on the homepage the special offer. Join with us, and together, friends, we can help reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I am here with my longtime friend and co-worker, Paul Schaefer, steadily following the Lord through challenge and hardship, serving with the Christ is the Answer ministry that has been in Italy for 42 years. And they also had works in different parts of the world, be it Mexico, be it in Ukraine, be it in India, be it in other parts of Europe. Clark is a co-worker of Paul, sorry. So Paul, your years in Italy, what are some of the most astounding things you've seen God do? You've had miraculous provision because you're all living by faith, living in community. You've had maybe the biggest 150 people on the team, men, women, and children, all trusting God for their daily bread, literally. But you've seen some amazing conversions. What are some of the things that stick out in your mind? We have crazy stories, amazing stories, funny stories, but what are some of the conversion stories that really stick with you?
Well, the young people that we saw come to the Lord in the first years was absolutely incredible. The numbers of people that were believing. I mean, I remember back in 76 just walking down the streets of Naples. I didn't speak Italian then. All I could say was, Gesù ti ama, Jesus loves you. And people would take a track. That evening, they would come under the tent and get saved. Just so simple, so spontaneous. Workers, street workers, prostitutes. We were bringing prostitutes in and transvestites to the point where the mayor of the city of Naples got wind of it, and he came and he gave us a special award, the keys to the city of Naples, for the work that we were doing, reaching out to the prostitutes and to the transvestites. It was a whole part of the city there. The Lord led us into areas also, of course, we touched areas where the mafia is prevalent. And we've had many encounters with mafia. At times they threatened us. At times they came and listened. And one time in a city in the south part of Italy, the first person that arrived to bring us any help with food, they brought a whole load of fresh baked bread. And when he drove away, somebody that knew him said, you know, that guy is one of the big hitmen of this city. I mean, it was just crazy situation. We were totally ignorant and just simply serving the Lord, preaching the gospel. What has been particular in this last time, we had to go through a whole lifestyle change from being totally mobile, moving around in a little village of containers with a big tent. And that hasn't...
One second. The containers that you lived in, how big was the container?
Oh, boy, to translate it into feet and inches, about 21 feet by 7 feet wide, so 21 long, 27 feet wide, and about 4 feet high container units that we lived in. We made them ourselves. They use them here in the earthquake areas and in construction sites. We made them into living quarters.
Right. I think it was higher than four feet.
Yeah, higher than 4 feet.
Right. So high enough for a person, but basically 140, 150 square feet, and whole families would live.
Yeah, and yeah, well, I lived there with my wife and our two children. We raised them there. They've left from our home in that little container.
Yeah.
But we couldn't use them anymore. The laws had changed about them, and we had to give it all up. And we didn't have a place to move to. At a certain point in the late part of 2015, we were all over the nation being guests in different homes and centers. And we got wind of a man that had a big hotel up on a place about 3,000 feet up in altitude. And we got a hold of him, talked with him, and asked him if he would let us use free of charge his old hotel that was closed and abandoned. And we would do the renovation work, and he gave it to us all of 2016 free of charge. We did the work to move in and make it livable, and now in 2017 he's given it us again free of charge. And so we've got a place to live from as we work to buy a property. But the way it all happened, the Lord used the most unlikely person that knew us and met us, and went, this person without saying anything to us, went around and looking for opportunities, and he made the contacts. And it just all came together in a very intense moment. We were changing our lifestyle. We'd been totally on the move, never having a permanent place for over 40 years. We got married, raised our families. Our families went on, graduated from high school, went on to university, and we were just kept on moving city to city, never stopping. Now we've got this place to live in, but we just use it as a place to come back to, rest up, and keep on moving throughout the nation. We really believe for this nation. It is a particular nation. Of course, everybody knows the Vatican is here. It is also a major NATO, American and NATO Air Force and Army place. And it's a crossroads of the nations. Anytime, any week, there can be up to 20 million people from outside of Italy, moving through Italy for various reasons. So it's very particular, very unique in certain senses. And we just believe the Lord is going to do something here, very particular, even in regards to Israel. Mm.
So, friends, we come back. I want to focus on Europe, the challenges, the good things that God is doing. But just one more question before we move away from Italy. How many governments have there been in Italy since World War II?
I believe we're on the 61st or 62nd government since 70 years ago, the end of World War II.
And it's happened more than once that a leader campaigned he was going to be anti-corruption, was elected, then ended up in jail for corruption?
Yes, it happens quite frequently. And right now, it's happening again.
Right. Friends, Italy needs more prayer than you would realize. And even in the churches, there's a lot of traditionalism that has not moved with the times, the same gospel, but moving with the times. So pray for Italy here, a nation where the Apostle Paul went and preached the gospel in Rome, and yet there has not yet been a national revival in Italy in roughly 2,000 years. years. I'd say the harvest year is very good.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is Michael Brown. You're listening to the Line of Fire. I'm coming your way from Catania, Sicily, Italy, soon to fly up to Stuttgart, Germany, for two meetings late afternoon, evening on this Monday in Tübingen, Germany. Then, God willing, back home on Tuesday, sitting with a dear friend. We've served together more than 30 years. He's been on the mission field, living sacrificially, little tents, trailers, to take the gospel all over Italy and other nations with the Christ is the Answer gospel team, my dear friend, Paul Wilbur. Paul Schaefer. I guess I'm a little tired with jet lag finally hitting. My friend Paul Wilbur is in Israel right now leading a tour. So, hey, Paul. I'll be seeing you in Israel about a week or so, I think. But okay, Paul Schaefer here. You don't sing, so not Paul Wilbur. All right, so Paul, you have labored, especially in Italy, these many years. Give me a picture of Europe. What's the spirit of the age right now in Europe? And what's God doing, though, in Europe?
Well, the European Union, the nations came together and they wrote up their constitution, which is over 20,000 words, and in that constitution there is no reference to God, to a God, to a sovereign being. And it was intentional choice. They didn't want to make any reference to God because they believe that they are sovereign unto themselves. And they've put God out of their society, out of their politics, out of their governments, out of their economic situation. And it's the mindset that right now is dominating the people. The people are very unsatisfied, and there are all kinds of social problems that are constantly putting in question the whole belief system. But in the midst of all this, the Lord is opening up many opportunities to keep the gospel going out into the people, to the people groups, to the cities, towns, and villages. The actual reality of terrorism is shaking everybody up and making them wonder. The economic crisis that has gone on since 2008, which still touches the lower 20% of the population. So right now in Italy, 7 million Italians have slipped down to the poverty level. So this is a really shocking development. In the midst of all this, we stand strong, keeping with the gospel. We keep it out public. We're trying not to be forced out of the public arena. We try to be up there with the people where they're living, working, shopping, moving around every day. We try to be right there with the gospel message. We also emphasize with them. We know that life is difficult for most of them. We're there to pray with them, to offer them spiritual counsel, to offer them also help in any way we can help them socially. And the Lord is opening up new opportunities. So we praise God for this, and we ask everybody to keep praying for Europe. It's the hardest continent of the earth to reach with the gospel, but the Lord is moving.
And right now, young people, they must have a lot of questions, the terrorism and the instability of this world. Are you seeing more openness with the young people?
Yeah, they're starting to open up. The problem with the young people is the social network has got them very used to a very quick, shallow message. And the gospel is not a shallow message. You can get it out quickly in a few words, but it's a deep message. It takes time to consider, to reflect upon, and let it come into their lives. But at the same time, there's really nothing else out there that's of any value whatsoever. We talk about a lack of values. It's really the whole value system has crumbled. Even the family structure in Italy, which has lasted up until this generation, is now crumbling. So the gospel is the only answer that will really give them hope.
So friends, pray for Europe. But what you're about to hear when we come back, as I speak with Paul Schaefer, we're going to focus on the Muslim world. And God is doing amazing things in the Muslim world. We may see the latest horrific terror attack and headline and grieve over that, and rightly so. But in the midst of this, God is moving powerfully in the Muslim world. I want to encourage your faith. And you know, if he can move in the Muslim world, if he can move in Europe, he can move in our backyard right where we live, and he can use you to be a witness.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown here, still in Sicily and shortly to leave for Germany for a couple of meetings late afternoon Monday, then Monday night, and then, God willing, flying home on Tuesday, sitting with my friend Paul Schaefer, a lifetime missionary with Christ is the Answer in Italy. And Paul, I know for years the team would do outreach on the streets and there would be some Muslims they'd reach out to and you never really saw much happening. But recently you've even had to turn your whole tent over to former Muslims who are believers now and conferences. So I know certain things you can't talk about because it's confidential what's happening in certain countries and workers risking their lives in these countries. But first, tell us what you've seen firsthand of God working in the Muslim world. And then this one brother you're working with, a former Muslim, what his perspective is.
Well, the experience has been growing over the last years. Of course, there was always a certain percentage of Muslim population in Italy, but it's growing incredible because of the refugees moving in from Africa and from the Middle East. So now there are about 1.5 million Muslims in Italy. And we've been reaching out to them, but now with the help of this brother that came alongside of us about 9 years ago, we were able to develop a better ministry to them. So bring the gospel to them, but also disciple them and help them to form little churches and communities in different parts of the nation. We're still doing that, and it's increasing. We've now partnered with other organizations that have from different parts of Europe that are working on this project. And some of it is just reaching out to the refugees who, you know, when they come in, they're in really difficult situation. They've gone through a lot. They've seen death in the face. They've been abused. They've been tortured. They've been taken advantage of. And they come in and they're not welcome here because they're not coming in, knocking on the door and asked to come in. They're just forcing their way in. So it's a difficult situation. But in the midst of them, I remember about 5 years ago, during the summertime in our tent, we had baptized more refugees from the Middle East that were coming to know Jesus, then we baptized Italians in that particular time. It's just amazing. Now the work has extended into other parts of Europe, into Greece, and moved into Turkey. And we even took a tent that we bought here in Italy, and we sent it there. And in Italy, we used it for 10 years. It was never full. It was a big tent, never full. We put it up in a refugee camp in Turkey, and it was filled with 1,200 Kurdish people, very few believers, but they received the gospel. Now we're waiting to do the same thing in another Middle Eastern nation, and we see the door is wide open to reach people groups that haven't been reached in centuries, and we also see that the signs of Islam crumbling are becoming more and more evident. So many people of the Muslim faith are tired of what's happening, the terrorist attacks, the abuse, the cruelty, and they're reaching out and asking for, you know, is this really the religion, the true religion? And it's a wonderful opportunity to lead them to know Jesus and to know really what life in Christ is all about.
When these Muslims are coming to faith, some of them have seen the love of Christians, and they've seen the terror within their own religion. They've seen the warfare, the constant striving. It's Muslim killing Muslim. A lot of suffering we couldn't even relate to. They're coming to faith. What level of dedication do they have? Is there something different about their level of dedication than when many people get saved in the West?
When they get saved, the ones that we're meeting and they're getting saved, they're usually very, very dedicated. They're very committed. The Lord is doing wonderful things with signs and wonders, visions and dreams, and just supernatural events that God grants them. And so when they meet up with God, they realize that He really is the living God, the real powerful God. And that brings them to a commitment, a real solid commitment. And many times the message that we preach of carrying the cross, of being a disciple of Jesus, of going all the way with the Lord, being totally committed, in the Western ears, that message isn't well received anymore. But we find that they're much more in synthony with that message because they come from a reality that lives that type of message.
And when they get baptized, that's the real commitment. And they understand what it could cost them.
Oh, yes, they understand. Because what people don't realize, we have had several of the new converts get knifed here in Italy by the other refugees when they found that they'd started to believe in Jesus.
Mm. All right. And you have a former Muslim you've been working with now for 9 years. And he has amazing open doors in different parts of the world. We're not going to mention his name or anything beyond that. But you said that his perspective is that Islam is crumbling. We hear about, well, at this rate of growth, by 2050, it'll be the world's biggest religion and things like that. And of course, a lot of it is birth rate, and much of it is still concentrated in a few parts of the world. But as a former Muslim, living in the Middle East or serving in the Middle East and in much of the Muslim world, he has a different perspective. What is he seeing?
Well, I'll say what he's seeing with two statistics. One is, in the nation of Iran, when the Shah was kicked out of Iran and the Ayatollah took over, there were known a few hundred believers in the gospel. Now there are over 3 million believers in the underground church and in the church that's visible, what is possible. That's one statistic. Another statistic is our first team that went across from Europe to on the land route to India went through Afghanistan in 1976, and at that time it was said there are no gospel believers in Afghanistan. Later we found there were about 25 of them. They were hidden away. Okay, but now we know of over 80,000 Afghan believers in the nation and outside the nation. Things are happening that just never happened, but not for a few years. In the last centuries, none of this happened. So this is just an indication of the doors that are wide open. As a matter of fact, the brother that works with us, he constantly says, the door is open now. We've got to get in. We've got to do all we can now because the door can close suddenly.
And why does he have the perspective? You've given me statistics. But what is it that he sees just on the ground? Forget statistics, but he sees just on the ground that makes him think that Islam could be weaker than we think, or perhaps ready to collapse in certain ways.
Because he's moved for the last years throughout all of the nations of the Middle East. He's met with people, with imams, he's met with tribal leaders, he's met with major political leaders of major people groups in different parts of the Middle East. He's witnessed to them, he's talked to them, he's brought them help, and he's always offered them more, but being right up front with them, he said, we're gonna come in, we believe in Jesus, we're gonna bring the gospel, we're gonna bring the Bible with us. And they've all said, come, bring it, we wanna hear more. And in one occasion, he was top of a mountain talking with a major leader, and the Americans were bombing on one side of that mountain and the Russians were bombing on the other side, and they were up there and praying, and this man came to believe in Jesus for the first time in his life with bombs falling on both sides of the mountain. That's the kind of situation that's going on. And he sees where they're ministering both in Syria and in Iraq, as ISIS is forced back and cleared out of the cities, where they're dealing, helping the refugees, tens and tens of thousands of people that are living out in the dry, barren areas of Syria. And we brought in a medical truck that's giving the medical aid and talking with them. And we just find that they're hurt, but they're seeking, and just they're just so willing to open up, and when we ask them, can we pray with you? They want to be prayed for. They want to know Jesus, and it's happening very, very quickly. Is our biggest problem, this brother keeps telling me, our biggest problem is to have prepared workers to be there on the ground helping. Mm.
So there is a mighty harvest. We've heard about it for years. We have friends, grads from our ministry school working in the Muslim world. They give us the reports. We've heard the reports about Iran. And some have said after China, it may have the fastest growing church anywhere in the world. I mean, this is extraordinary. And is there also something about the Muslims are tired with the fear-based religion that they've grown up in?
Oh, definitely. They're tired They're tired of fear. They're tired of the contradictions of the religion, the different factions, the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Sufis, and then the small groups here and there, and the political issues that get in, and we're turned one against the other. When we meet them on the streets, the people of the different factions, they greet each other. But when they, amongst themselves, there's a tremendous tension between them. They're looking for something that is really gonna change their life, give them real sense to living, and also cause them to know God. And of course, we know our God is a loving God. He's a loving father. He wants to save, set free, and give us real life. And that's what they need to know.
So friends, be praying in faith for God to raise up laborers to go to the Muslim world. The harvest is riper than it's ever been in the history of Islam. Pray for more laborers. Pray for more strategy. Pray for open doors, because this is an amazing time of harvest. Hey, we come back. We're going to focus on speaking to Christians right here in America. Give us strength to
always do what's right. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire, Michael Brown, your friendly voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution in Italy, about to leave for Germany for a few hours of ministry in Germany with my longtime friend Paul Schaefer, one of the leaders of the Christ is the Answer missions team. And Paul, I've often joked with the team that I envy all of you because of the treasure you're going to have in heaven. You haven't had much down here on earth, but the treasure in heaven is going to be amazing. One thing that joined our hearts together when we met in 87 was we had a similar passion for discipleship, for surrender to the Lord, for making your life count for eternity. And you're not one to bash the church and attack and be critical, but you obviously have a burden. You don't spend a lot of time in the States, but you see a lot of what comes out from the States going around the world. Many fine missionaries going out from America. The Christ is the Answer team came out from America. But there's also a lot of stuff that the American church sends out that's not so helpful. So give us your perspective as someone living over 40 years here in Europe.
Well, I'll just mention, the Lausanne movement has published 12 challenges that the church now faces in the next decade to bringing the gospel to all of the world, to all people groups, to all nations. And one of them, it's about the fourth point, is nominalism. Another one is the prosperity message. There is more damage being done by the prosperity message, which came out of America. And other peoples have taken, especially in Africa and Asia, and they've exaggerated even more than already what was taught in America. And the damage it has done is just incalculable. We don't know. So we stand against that. We don't believe that. We believe that God blesses. We believe that God provides. And we believe that anybody that prospers has, along with his prosperity, if he's a real believer, the responsibility to properly administer that extra for the good of others. That's what we commit ourselves to. But so we also live the same reality. We receive much good out of America, but we also, this mixed message and the changes that need to be made. The Reformation, they didn't get it right about the church structure, and we're still struggling after 500 years to get the church right.
And when you talk about the prosperity gospel, obviously this idea that Jesus died to make me rich, and the sign of my spirituality is financial success. So the damage is that it puts tremendous emphasis on things and possessions and gets our minds off the things of God. How do you define the damage?
Well, the damage is that, but it also is that the simple believers in any place, I'm thinking now in particular of Africa, but I can think of other places, they keep giving, they keep tithing, and of course it's going to bless their pastor, their minister, their bishop, their apostle, who does live a prosperous life, but it very rarely trickles down to the rest of the church members because it's not realistic. It doesn't fit into any economic reality that we're all living. There isn't all of this abundance so that we can all have more than enough excess of everything. The world doesn't have that, and God never intended to be like that. So the damage is really to the lives of many, many simple believers that are confounded, confused, and entrapped.
So we're not talking about having needs met. We're talking about kind of living like royalty. And when you're just dependent on your chicken to lay an egg to make it through the day, and that's God's provision, and you didn't get your new Rolls Royce, there's deception in that message, clearly. And what about other aspects of the American message that have not been helpful? Is it a superstar thing we put out? Is it a superficial message? What are some of the negative things? Thank God for all the positive that's come out for America, but what are some of the things that have done more harm than good?
Well, superstar mentality, of course, is one of the problems because it completely distorts the Bible teaching on the different ministry. There are ministries, biblical ministries, at least five of them, but none of them are superstars. They're all there to serve the body and to equip the body and to get everybody growing and maturing and doing and being and doing their part in the overall work of God. So that's definitely one of the problems. The other problem, I would have to say, is also the mega church concept. Concentrating a large number of believers in one under one ministry in one location rather than covering the entire area with a valid Christian mission or a ministry and witness. The goal is to have real believers living the gospel, praying and showing how one lives as a Christian in the midst of every people group, every 1,000 people, every village, every city town. Just to pass by and see this huge building that's immense, it doesn't really tell anybody how to live for Jesus on a daily basis.
All right, so if you are part of a mega church, then the goal is wherever you live in your community, neighborhood, live it out, as opposed to it only happens under the roof of that one building. So that could be something that people do misunderstand. And then take 1 minute, and you've been living like this. I would point to your team living like this for decades. In your understanding, what does it mean to be a disciple?
It means to take the cross, then renounce ourselves, and live daily for Jesus, and put Him first in everything we do every day. It means being willing to sacrifice and suffer for Him if that we're called to that. It means to lay down our lives for the good of others. It means to develop a servant's heart, that we go out and everywhere we go every day, we see opportunities where we can serve people, show them God's love, and share His word with them.
And you've really done it. The team has really done it. And the nation of Italy is indebted to Christ as the answer, and where missionaries have gone since then. And now we get to partner together, Fire School of Ministry in Sicily. Is there a place to go if folks wanted to find out about Christ as the Answer?
Yes, we have our own website right now. Unfortunately, it's only in Italian, cristoelarisposta.org. We'll eventually have to get up an English website.
All right, so if you know Italian, you can figure out the spelling there. And it's been a joy to serve together these many years. And friends, I want to give you an opportunity to partner with me directly as we are preparing broadcasts in the weeks ahead, making a major investment of time and energy to prepare these special outreach broadcasts. I'm talking about ultimately it will be dozens of shows that will get into virtually every home in Israel with cable TV. We'll be able to get these broadcasts, and it's going to be the most focused, targeted outreach we've ever done in our lives to Israel. You can help me with this, and we want to say thank you when you do. There's a tremendous new book by Dr. Mark Stengler and his son, Mark Jr., on reaching the cults. Practical, eye-opening, informative, especially focusing on Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses. It's an over 250-page book, highly recommended by Josh McDowell and others. It sells for $17, $16.99 to be precise. But we have a bunch of these copies that we want to send you as our thank you gift when you stand with me helping me reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So take a moment, go to my website right now. It's Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. AskDrBrown.org. You'll see right on the homepage how you can partner together. Your generous gift, but your gift of any size, we want to send you this book as our thank you gift, reaching the cults with the good news of Jesus. Friends, the harvest is ripe. We've said it a few times in this broadcast. It is very ripe even as we speak. Pray that God would use you, that He'd use me, that He'd thrust us out into the harvest to win the lost.